Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back, creeps.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome back to a delightful episode of Titillating Tales of True Terror. I'm not sure what number this is.
I don't either. Who cares?
September, yay. almost October, actually. Actually, I think this will come out in October.
Okay.
I'm not sure what day it's going to come out yet.
Last week
we released on Sunday, and I think we might do the same thing this week. Or I might just do it tomorrow. I don't know. Anyway, if you're listening to this, thank you for listening at whatever day, on whatever day it came out. Mm-hmm. And yeah. How was your week?
Pretty good. Not much to report here.
No?
Nope.
You were a barista today at work?
It was. That was pretty fun.
Yeah?
Yeah. I got to pretend I worked at Starbucks.
Right on. My synchronicities have been like steadily going.
Mm-hmm.
Like every day pretty much. But yeah, that's about it. I learned that some Christians believe that Christ's foreskin is now the rings of Saturn.
Wow, that is very specific.
Yeah.
Didn't you say that there's somebody that believed that foreskin just like shot up into the heaven and disappeared and transcended?
Yeah, no, I actually got it wrong. It shot up into space
and became a part of Saturn.
The rings of Saturn,
I
yeah.
See. So that's just some in foreskin. Case,
yeah, some elastic fucking skin.
Yeah.
yeah, I've been listening to a lot of the Blind Boy podcast, like I was saying in the last episode, and that man is full of random information, and that's the key to my heart, I think.
Okay.
Random information, so
I respect it.
Yeah, specifically when it comes to foreskins.
Cool.
Yeah,
I love it. Well, not the foreskin, but your passion for the foreskin.
I have so much passion for foreskin. Foreskins have been coming up a lot lately.
Foreskin is greater than threeskin.
Yes. have you got a tarot card for us?
I do. The tarot card of the day is the Sun, which is a good one. Today is a day for feeling good, having fun, and being happy. Think about what activities make you feel the most content and fulfilled, and do that. Maybe it's reading a book in a sunny spot, spending time with a dear friend, creating art. It might be helpful to think back to what you loved doing as a child. Have a wonderful day.
Wow, how positive. I kind of felt like that was the start of a Christmas song there for a second.
Yeah, if you pull this card in a reading, like a yes or no situation, like should I do this or is this a good decision to make, blah, blah, blah. If you pull the Sun card upright, it means yes.
And if it's reversed, you don't do it.
I don't know, but I would listen to it if it was, I would take it as a yes if it's upright.
All right,
I think
cool.
It just depends on how I feel.
Yeah. So if you're mulling something over right now as you listen to this, just go for it and say the Sun did it.
The Sun did it.
Yeah. What does, why does our whiteboard say Miss New Booty?
it's probably the kids.
All right. Anyway, with that being said, we have a couple of lovely stories and a couple of stories that you might have heard on other podcasts as well. Because believe it or not, listeners, there is a crossover. so yeah, but we're fine with that. Like if ever you feel like, oh, I can't send this story because I sent it to that podcast. Don't feel like that. We don't care. We just want to read out your stories. But the first one that I got, or that I'm going to read, is actually the most recent one that we got, I think. Or one of the more recent ones anyway. And it's not even so much a story, it's just that this happened. And anyway, it says, hey, Dulce and Adam, I've been binging the podcast for a bit now, and I'm listening to episode 71 as I type. I recently shared episodes 58 and 59 with my son because I too had heard the story of the boy they tried to hide and was completely enthralled by it. I was totally stoked for the deep dive. So yesterday, Sunday, my husband and I were going on a day out. Long story short, I told him that I shared the episodes with our son and gave him a brief summary. He isn't into the whole supernatural, paranormal, scary stuff like me, but he is totally okay with my podcast obsession. I listen to podcasts all day. Anyway, reel it in. He wanted to listen to the episodes too since we had a long drive. So we're listening to episode 58 and Dulce is telling her story about the painting. I don't even want to name the painting. Do you remember this one?
Yeah, I do.
So we're listening and I look up an image of the painting to show him. I had seen it previously, but I wanted him to see it so he could understand the description. He was thoroughly creeped out and I turned off my phone. Then I thought to myself, I better close out that tab on my phone because I don't need that creepy shit on there. I opened my phone, X'd out of the tab, closed the phone, and no sooner had I settled back in my seat, I see a cloud of dirt coming from the median about 3 car lengths in front of us. Just as my head was wrapping around what the fuck I was seeing, I see a white SUV flipping in the center of the cloud. My husband had the presence of mind to keep driving to avoid the debris that began raining down, but suddenly a rock hits and cracks our windshield directly in front of my face. So yeah, holy fuck. Maybe it was coincidence. Very likely. But no, thank you very much. I will not be looking up that painting ever again. Ever. And now I'm trying to convince my son not to look it up. Since he'll be listening as he drives for work. Anyway, love the podcast. Love y'all's energy. Love the accents. Yes, Dulce, you have an accent.
I hear that a lot, but I just don't hear it. I mean, I get that a lot, I mean.
Yeah.
Just don't hear it.
I'm originally from North Texas, but now live in South California. Also, I fully believe I was Irish in a past life. Have a great day. I'll send personal stories at some point, probably when I catch up on the podcast.
You could be Mexican. You could have been Mexican in a past life because, in my opinion, Irish and Mexicans are very much, they're very alike.
Very alike. Not in the weather, though. She feels like a cold, miserable soul inside of her. Then she probably wasn't Mexican. Tell us a story, Dulce.
No. All right. Here we fucking go. Strap in, folks. It's gonna be a bumpy one. Hey, y'all. Glad to have found this podcast, and it coming from Houstonians is fucking rad. This is very long because I've had quite a bit of unexplainable things happen to me. So you've been warned. I am Mexican. So am I. And Mexicans can be very superstitious. I'm a little stitious, personally. But anyways, back to the story. So there's already that to start. I had imaginary friends when I was 3 years old. Their names were Mauro and Yoldi. According to my parents, because I do not remember this, I only saw them and talked about them when we lived in our house in Mexico. The only creepy thing that happened regarding them, other than their existence, because wow, was that this one time I was behaving mischievous, and my mom did the parent thing and reprimanded me. I cried, and then after sobbing for a few minutes, I got very quiet and started giggling. Then I told my mom, "Mom, Mauro and Yoldi are hitting you," to which my mom freaked the fuck out and told me to be quiet. She was the one that told me about this story, and we laugh about it now, but there's this underlying creep factor. My parents joke about me being the spawn of the devil because I like stuff like this. It's that good old Mexican guilt trip. Recently, I found out from a cousin that my parents rented that house from his dad, which is my uncle. I didn't know this, and my cousin said that he saw things in the house, so he thinks I was talking to ghosts. Fast forward to me in high school. I was around 17, 18. during my senior year, and I was going through a very rough relationship with my then boyfriend. I don't know if this has anything to do with what happened to me, but I guess it can be all tied together. Who knows? Anyway, I was very anxious all the time, and that's when I had my first sleep paralysis experience. He had them too. He said that the dead crawled on top of me. And I thought it was weird when he told me this. I didn't understand what he meant because I had not had an experience yet. The first time I experienced it, I felt the usual sense of something being there and watching me. I was on my back, facing the wall, opposite my bed. There was nothing but darkness. I pulled out of it and fell asleep, moved on with my life. Then it happened again, in the same scenario, but this time there was a shadow figure standing at the foot of my bed. Fell asleep again, moved on. It happened again, and the figure this time was closer to my side of the bed. Fell asleep, moved on. Finally, the figure showed up eye level to me, right in front of my face, as if it was crouched down to look at me. I fell asleep and moved on. I told this story during my creative writing class, and everyone in my class stayed quiet. At this point, I felt something was truly off. I came to find out that the apartments that we lived at had once been a cemetery, and that a section of the apartments had burned down a long time ago, and that section was replaced by a basketball court. Also, a side story about those apartments. I lived in those apartments from age 4 to 23. My best friend used to live at that apartment complex when we were kids. Her mom saw a little girl with long dark hair and a white dress standing in her room. Samara much? She thought it was my friend, so she asked her if she had had a nightmare and told her to come into bed with her. She didn't say anything, so my friend's mom stood up and turned on the light. The little girl immediately ran into the closet and vanished. This story is from when we were about 7 years old. Fast forward to around when I was 13, 14. My dad was a maintenance worker at those same apartments, and my cousin was visiting from Mexico and living with us for a while. My dad was woken up at around 3 a.m. because some people were stealing cars from the parking lots. So he took my cousin with him to investigate. My cousin was walking around where my best friend used to live, and he saw a little girl in a white dress with black long hair hiding behind some bushes. He thought it was odd that a little girl was out at 3 a.m., but he decided to ignore it. Also, when I was around 20 years old, my uncle was staying with us for a while. We lived in a different unit at this point. He said that he woke up one night and saw a little girl with long black hair and a white dress standing by the kitchen table. He slept in the living room, and then he saw her vanish into one of the chairs. Both relatives were from my mom's side. Maybe my mom's family has a haunted gene. So, back to the sleep paralysis. I was getting tired of not having enough sleep. I had grown up semi-religious, basically just believing in the existence of God, but we didn't go to church. I grabbed my grandfather's Bible, opened it up to a random page, and left it open on my nightstand. That made the sleep paralysis stop. When I was in college, I started having episodes again, but this time I was having visions. At one point, I saw the little girl with black hair and a white dress. I saw her face in full color. Her face had cuts, and she looked wet. But I thought maybe I was seeing visions from scary movies because I'm a huge horror fan. The face was floating, no body, and frowning at me. Then one night, I had crawled into bed with my then boyfriend, a different one from the first one mentioned, and we both heard some pens drop on my desk. It was as if someone grabbed a handful of pens and dropped them on my desk. We both shot up and looked at the desk, and then at each other. There were no pens on the desk. So where did the sound come from? Another time during the day, I was taking a nap on my bed with my dog, and my boyfriend was lying in bed on his phone. My head was at the foot of the bed near the bed frame, and my dog was in a similar position. I had left a glass of water resting on the bed frame. The frame had a flat surface at the foot of the bed, so I always put cups on it. I was woken up by something pushing the cup off the frame. I saw the cup on the floor, and even my dog was looking at it. My boyfriend was on his phone, so he didn't see what happened, but I don't think I accidentally pushed it off. One of my friends stayed the night at that apartment once. She slept on the floor, and she said that during the middle of the night, she saw a black, hairy hand. She described it as the hands of the Grinch. Reach out of my closet and grip the side of the door. This other time that I was napping during the day, I was alone in my bedroom. Sleep paralysis hit. But this time, I felt my body being lifted off the bed and flipped over onto all fours. Then I felt something dry humping me, and I even felt my body moving back and forth. I woke up on my back. I'm not going to lie, I kind of like this one.
Nice.
That's funny because a girl that I watch on YouTube has a thing for the Mothman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it has something to do with the Mothman statue having like a juicy butt.
Yeah. The perkiest, roundest butt I've ever seen on a statue.
I think we might have talked about this already.
Maybe.
Every time, except for this Incubus situation, also a great band, I fought back. It is a great band. I don't know if they're still making music. I was able to break out of the sleep paralysis by forcing a fuck you, or forcing my body to give the general area the middle finger, or forcing out a fuck off repeatedly. I still use that method to this day, but when I'm not in sleep paralysis, I experience weird things from time to time. I'm usually a very rational person, but at this point I thought I needed to really do something because I was not getting any rest due to the sleep paralysis and weird interruptions. My godmother was a witch, and my aunt is a witch too, both on my mom's side, but no one wants to admit it. They say healers and tarot readers, but come on, it's quite obvious. Anyway, knowing this information, I began my journey into witchcraft. From my superstitious upbringing, I learned that when mirrors face each other, they open up portals that allow spirits to walk into our worlds. Mirrors hold plenty of negative energy, and the older the mirror, the more energy it holds. Breaking a mirror is bad luck for this reason, but broken mirrors can also be used for rituals. Neat, huh? Just be careful. It can be dangerous. I had mirrors facing each other in my bedroom the entire time that I lived there. I moved them and I cleansed them. I cleansed my space and did what I could on my own to make the sleep paralysis stop. And it did. At least it stopped in that specific apartment. I moved out with my boyfriend when I was 23-ish. We moved to an apartment that his mom used whenever she was in town. She had a farm in the outskirts of the city, so she let us live there. I had one experience of sleep paralysis there, but this time I saw a naked old man just looking at me. I felt no negative energy, no bad intentions. I broke out of it and saw that the mirrors were facing each other again. Moved them, it stopped. We moved to a different apartment, and I had another sleep paralysis experience. No mirrors this time, and I was sleeping on my stomach. They say you're more prone to sleep paralysis if you're on your back, so this was new. I saw a vision of a corpse with long black hair, green skin, because it was rotting. The vision was like out of an out-of-body experience. I felt it wrap its hands around me, under my arms, and around my chest, like it was hugging me, and it whispered into my ear. I immediately broke out of the sleep paralysis and wrote down what it said. I didn't understand what it said, but when I Googled it, there were words in different languages. I don't remember what the words meant, and I know that Google Translate is awful, but all I remember is that one of the words was in Swahili, Latin, and other languages. I've had that happen to me.
What?
Like hearing another language in a dream. And I looked it up and I think it might have been in Greek or something.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't remember what the fuck it was about.
Yeah.
Or what the words meant. I think that was the last time I saw anything. I still have sleep paralysis from time to time, but there are no visions. I still tell them to fuck off. I've gotten much more into my witchcraft. I don't follow a specific religion. I'm spiritual and basically make my own rules in my craft. I do pray to La Santa Muerte. I pray to the Black Santa Muerte, who is known as the hardest to work with because she is the most demanding, but she focuses on justice. I dreamt of her twice, and they say that she needs to choose you for you to be able to work with her. The first time I dreamt of her, she was in a purple robe, and we were talking like we were friends. The second time, she didn't say anything, and I felt like I was in trouble after the second dream. I listened, and I started working with her. I think she was upset because I didn't pick up on it after the first dream. She's been really great to me, and I feel stronger because of her. She gets a bad rep, but she's an incredible deity to work with. I'm also trying to get into grad school as a pathologist assistant, so my life will continue to stay haunted one way or another. I love dissecting and I love collecting specimens. I have pet tarantulas and I'm a hot mess, clumsy bitch. I'm a walking cliche, I know. Thanks for reading. I love your podcast. P.S. I was almost kidnapped when I was a newborn. I'm the firstborn, and my mom was a new mom at the time. A woman asked her if she could hold me, and my mom let her. My mom got distracted with something else, and my grandfather caught the woman trying to take me away. Do you think this woman cursed me or something? Do you think it was a petty move? I don't know, but weird. Bess, Carolina.
Carolina. She also told us that we're hot messes too. But it's not wrong. There's so much to unpack there. First of all, I want to know where those apartments were.
Me too.
Because since we're like local Houstonians, I'm pretty sure Carolina found us because there was a pork chop sticker on the Dunkin' drive-thru. I'm pretty sure that's who found us there.
I have a feeling I know what area, if that's the case, but I want to know for sure. So drop us a line, Carolina.
Yeah, because in my head, it's the one by the gym where I used to work. But
initially I thought so too, but if that's where she saw the sticker, then maybe down the street where the lights always go out.
A little closer to home. Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, yeah, we want to know. We won't tell everybody on the...
Obviously, that's why we're saying, like, oh, by the...
Descriptors
only Adam and I know about.
Yes, but, I mean, messages. Tell us exactly where it is.
Let us know.
But, yeah, Jesus Christ. I have had sleep paralysis a good few times, I will say. And, like, my go-to move, like she was saying about the saying fuck off repeatedly or whatever, my go-to move is the Kill Bill... wiggle your big toe. And it's funny because I haven't actually seen that movie. That's like the only bit of the movie that I've seen, but that's my okay, calm down, concentrate, let's get out of this. But there was that one time, remember when you had to wake me up and I was like, oh, there's just a little girl at the end of the bed, and then rolled over and went back to sleep again. But you did have to wake me up the other night from
but that was just a nightmare, I think.
But when I'm making those noises, it's because I'm conscious of it.
Oh.
And I'm trying to wake myself up.
I see.
Yeah, so it is a little bit like...
sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's probably what it just looks like to me. I just think you're having a nightmare, but you're going through sleep paralysis.
Yeah, I'm like trying to wake myself
up. Okay, that makes sense.
So it does... Yeah, I don't know. I get it quite a lot, but I don't have like a known trigger for it or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I used to get it every time... as a kid in my grandmother's bed for some reason in our old house. But I don't know. Yeah, maybe that mad bitch who tried to steal you from your mom, maybe she did put a curse on you.
I mean, if your mom didn't know her, you know, maybe not. But I mean, I think you, if anything, you're lucky because you didn't get stolen.
Or maybe you were stolen. And who you think is your mom is actually the one who...
Oh, M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, plot twist. But yeah, no, that whole story, I'm literally trying to skim back through it because there was so
That's
much
That's a lot,
in
yeah.
It. Yeah.
I'm trying to like recall
Yeah, like
a few things.
I don't know, but At this point, came to find.
What's crazy, that little girl that literally everybody in the complex saw.
That's what I'm trying to go back to. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
crazy. I like that I think your cousin, when he saw her, he knew that's not a real little girl. And that's why he ignored her. Because initially, like at the surface, it sounds like he was uncaring or callous. But I'm pretty sure there's something in him that told him that's not really a little girl.
Yeah, he's
like, you feel me? Like, she's not.
She's just a witness from the spirit realm or something.
Like, she is not of this world. Yeah, what I'm saying.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I'd like to see a little girl or anything like that.
Yeah,
but
smart move on your cousin's on your cousin's part.
All right, and this next story is from
your mom.
Oh. No, my mother did not send this story. No, this story is sent to us from our dear listener, Kina. And I'm really glad because she actually phonetically spelt it for me. Because I'm pretty sure I mispronounced it a few times.
I know someone at work who name is Kina and I call her Kinawina.
Kinawina?
Yeah.
I'd say she loves you.
Yeah. She never responds, you know, like, I mean, she answers, but she like doesn't react to me calling her Kinawina.
I think that means she doesn't like it. Anyway.
I still do it. Makes me happy.
So Kina says, hi.
Hey, Kina.
Hey.
Kinawina.
Since you wanted some stories, here's a little story my ex-boyfriend told me a couple of years ago. A little backstory. He's always been sensitive to the paranormal. His family lived in an old house that was used as a store and for hiding in World War II. Families paid the owner, not my ex's family, fortunately, to hide in a secret basement below the store. Inside the house, there was a secret passageway through a closet on the second floor, which led to the basement. What people didn't know was that the owner was a really bad man who also worked for the Nazi sympathizers. So when the families arrived, they were tragically killed as soon as they entered the basement. Holy shit.
That's awful.
The store, passageway, and basement were destroyed a few years after the war ended, but the closet entrance remained.
The fuck?
Yeah, I don't know.
How did that happen?
I don't know. To this day, you can still hear scratching on the closet door from the inside. I've heard it myself. It's so sad and horrifying at the same time. Okay, about the man. Or we think it's the same man because of the sinister feeling that follows both the man and the story. He had had some reoccurring dreams where a man with a fedora manifested time after time. After a while, he saw him in the street looking up at him in his room. Then he came into his room, standing in the corner, just watching. After some time, he had had enough and managed to shake him off, refusing to acknowledge him, and he didn't have any more encounters for a while. A few months later, his then girlfriend and her family were driving to her family's cabin. He had never been there, but when they arrived, he wasn't feeling well. He felt kind of drained, even though it was only a 1-hour drive. Out of nowhere, he saw flashes of the road that they had just driven on. He recognized the road, and the flashes were getting closer to the cabin. The last flash was of the outside of the cabin, seeing the car they had arrived in, watching the cabin from the outside. He turned to look outside and saw a man with a hat standing on the road, looking up at him. He fainted. The hat man had found him. Jesus. I have no idea if anything more happened. I was terrified, so I wouldn't let him tell me anything more. We never spoke about him again, but we both felt him. I dreamt about the man almost every night when I was there, and I made my ex follow me to the bathroom every time and stand on the lookout just outside the door, while I was paranoid of things coming through the walls anyway. The end, smiley face. Hope you like it, Kina.
I don't blame you, Kina. When I get scared because we're watching a scary movie, I make Adam come with me to the bathroom. Like, he is in the bathroom with me.
Yeah, and it's not a very big bathroom, yeah. But I'm just going to go out on a limb and assume that you broke up because of this hat man. Strange, though.
I remember a long time ago when I used to present stories on the podcast, I covered Hatman's.
Yeah.
Hatman.
The Hatman. But this dude is different, though.
Yeah, no, I just couldn't remember what they meant.
I
think it was a bad thing to see him a Hatman. Hatman's.
A Hatman, yeah.
Hatman.
But Jesus Christ. Like, so if, just for reference, this person is actually from Norway, but...
That's so metal.
Yeah, it's really fucking cool. But so the Nazi thing definitely checks out there. It's just so bizarre. First of all, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
For doing that to those people.
Right.
And second of all, yeah, like that's creepy that they even, that the fact that they know this history and they're still living in the house.
Yeah.
This is one of those times when I'm kind of like, move out of that house.
I mean.
I'm all about buying a murder house and stuff like that. But this place, they just need to knock the whole thing down.
Yeah, you're alone on that one, but I agree with you. Like, just move out because, like, the history is way too heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
You feel me? All right. So, here's from our friend Haley.
Haley, who gave us that bitchin' reading.
Yeah.
And who you can reach at their new Instagram, arcane_insights. So, definitely go ahead and check that out. Oh, I can already see that a few of our listeners follow them.
Oh, good.
So yeah, everybody go show her the love. DM for bookings. She's an intuitive medium.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
All right. So, hey guys. So this submission is about a seance that took place across the street from my childhood home. Just to recap, I grew up in a century home, the Nodwell House, haunted as fuck, in Port Elgin, Ontario, Canada. Across the street from the house is a park, Nodwell Park, though that was once the site of an Anishinaabe village.
It's an indigenous people's tribe, I think.
Okay. Which was settled in the 1300s. My friends, siblings, and I spent a lot of time at this park and in the surrounding forest as young children and well into our teens. I mean, a lot of time. To further preface this story, I was interested in the occult from a very young age and was no stranger to the Ouija board, seances, magic, etc. by the time I was preteen. I can't say 100% when this interest began, but I do know that growing up in the Nodwell House strengthened this interest due to all the highly strange activity that occurred there. So, cut to myself and four of my friends in 1995 at around 12 years of age on a cold, snowy night in January. We decided to go across to the field at the park and hold a seance. Not to contact anyone in particular, just a general seance, you know, like a bunch of dummies. We figured, since the space had once been an indigenous village, burial ground and all, it would make for a paranormally potent experience. So we geared up snowsuits and candle lanterns. What is...
I think that says toques, which is what Canadian people call beanies.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Or woolly hats, like toques and maple syrup.
Wow. I like that maple syrup bit. All right. And trudged the snow to the middle of the field. We formed a circle, closed our eyes, and requested that the closest spirit come to our circle and speak with us. We let the request hang in the air and sat silently, waiting for something to happen, for what may have been only a minute, eyes shut under the winter sky. As the moments passed, there was still and silence. Then, suddenly, the darkness I saw behind my eyelids changed to a blinding bright light. This light faded quickly, and though my eyes were still shut, I could now see behind myself. There were three dark figures rising from the ground. They began to move toward our circle. Black masses with no discernible features, but a tangible, insidious energy. Afraid, I opened my eyes as everyone else in the circle did the same, almost one by one. Each of us had a look of fear on our faces. Let's go, I said firmly. We grabbed our shit and ran as fast as we could back to my house. Once we were back inside, we came up with a chant for protection. When we felt safe, we discussed what had happened. It turned out that we had all experienced the same thing while sitting with our eyes closed. The bright light, seeing behind ourselves, and the dark figures, the sense of malevolence. Sometimes I wonder what would have happened if we hadn't run. Thank you so much for taking the time to read this. I have a smattering of other stories that I will share soon. Keep up the great work, you two. Kind regards, Haley.
Thank you, Haley.
Thanks, Haley.
Yeah, send us in your other stories whenever you feel like it. We'll get to them regardless.
Don't you hate it when people say irregardless?
Irregardless?
Yeah.
But I think that is a word, though, isn't it?
No.
Is it not cool?
I refuse.
Anyway, my immediate impression of this, in my mind, is that, yeah, maybe it was those indigenous people just kind of gently nudging you out of the place, being like, now, now, children, don't be getting yourselves into stuff like this, you know? But again, that's just a feeling that I get from the story. And maybe that's just the feeling I want to get. But in saying that, a snowy evening in January in 1995.
With maple syrup.
Maple syrup, snow suits and toques.
Toques.
That sounds like the best time of your freaking life.
I read it as toques.
Toques.
Which is like when you take hits from joints.
Oh, like toques?
Yeah.
That's funny. I'm pretty sure it's toques.
Okay.
Well,
you would know. You're like the Canadian.
Yeah, but I've never seen it written down, so.
You're the resident Canadian to ask.
You know what they call their money?
Loonies and toonies.
Loonies and toonies, baby.
I remember when you first told me that, I didn't believe you because I thought you were just like lying to me.
Pulling your leg.
Pulling my pisser. Where did I hear that one?
Oh, Jesus Christ, I don't know. That's awful. Don't say something like that. That's very unladylike. You shouldn't say things like that. Okay, this next one is from our friend Ogre Comedy. Me and Ogre actually talk quite a bit. He's a good dude. He's quite funny. Little bit of a warning with this story. It gets quite graphic and it's very sad, but it's a good story though.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, he says, hello. Okay, a little backstory. Straight in. No kissing. We like it.
No kissing.
I was 13 when this happened. My grandmother had moved in with my dad, sister and I after my parents got a divorce. I went to wake her up with my sister to tell her that we were going to school and that we loved her. But she had had a brain aneurysm in the bed that night and was bleeding out of her eyes, ears, nose and mouth.
Jesus.
All over the bed. So needless to say, I was freaked the hell out. The experience happened the night before the viewing at the funeral home. I couldn't sleep, so I was staying up and watching TV in the living room. The way the room was set up is when you walked in the front door, the couch was against the wall to your immediate left, and the TV was on the right wall with the hallway at the end of that wall and the kitchen straight ahead of you. It was probably 3:30 in the morning, and I was a little fat kid watching TV and eating chips way past my bedtime.
Aww.
When I caught out of the corner of my eye, coming down the hallway, a dull blue glow. I looked at the entrance of the hallway and my grandmother slowly drifted into view with her feet hanging slack like she was being carried under her arms. Her toes were about 2 inches off the ground. She was barefoot, wearing a powder blue dress I have never seen her in, and she didn't have her glasses on.
Oh, when you say that, I recall that really sad part in My Girl where her little friend dies and she's crying at the casket like, he doesn't have his glasses on. How's he going to see? Oh,
yeah, I think this
broke
is a
very
similar thing.
Broke me.
She turned and looked at me. She didn't turn her head. Her entire body, staring straight forward, slowly turned until it was facing me. And then slowly turned back to the right and went floating into the kitchen.
Wow.
All the lights in the house were out, so the only light was the TV and the dull blue glow from her.
Wow.
After she left my plane of view into the kitchen from the doorway, that light went out abruptly. And as soon as that light went out, I took a deep breath and realized I had not breathed the entire time this was happening.
Wow.
The next day, we all got dressed up and went to the funeral home, and my grandmother was in her casket wearing that powder blue dress she had had on the night before.
Shut the fuck up.
And she was not wearing her glasses.
Oh my God.
She hated her glasses. She said she didn't want to be buried with them.
What?
Well, needless to say, they were going to bury her with them.
That scared a fart out of me. Oh my God.
Well, needless to say, they were going to bury her with them, but couldn't find them anywhere. After the service, Dad stopped at the end of the driveway because he thought he ran over something. It was her glasses, and they were crushed by the tire.
She said, fuck you, and put my glasses on.
P.S. My uncle came up for the funeral. He said he woke up at 2 a.m. because it felt like someone was in the bed with him. It was her. He said he spoke to her for about an hour and a half. Then she drifted out the door and down the hall, which would line up with my experience in the living room.
Wow.
Thank you for listening, fellow creep, Ogre Comedy.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. You can actually look up Ogre Comedy on YouTube. He's got some pretty blue jokes on there, but he does stand up and he is quite good. But yeah, so thanks, Ogre, for sharing that with us. It's a... As sad as it, like, that's a fucking awful experience for anyone to have. But what a story to come out of
for
it as
real,
well. Yeah. And that's, in my opinion, if your grandmother was the type to say, don't fucking bury me in these glasses.
yeah.
Then that's definitely her just coming back to say a little goodbye.
I want to know, or maybe this is just something that the uncle is keeping private. Like, it's just very much like for himself. Like, an hour and a half.
That's a long time.
That's a long time. Like, I wonder what they talked about.
I don't know. Like, in those situations, I always just picture, like, long silences, no actual communication, but there, it's like,
you're,
you know, messages
up.
Are being sent, like, you know, that kind of way.
Oh, yeah.
That's just, again, this
makes
is
sense.
My opinion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, just comforting feelings of,
yeah, like, you know, soaking in the comfort.
Yeah, of one another, like.
Yeah, the last moments.
But yeah, so Jesus Christ, what a collection of stories.
Yeah. What a plethora.
Yeah.
One would say a cornucopia.
Would they?
I don't know.
I don't think that one would say.
I think they would in this fall season.
So we'll be back next week with some more of our regularly scheduled programming, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what the topic is. There's a couple of subjects in the works right now. Anyway, thank you all very much for listening. As always, make sure to follow us on Jesus everywhere.
All our endeavors.
Everything, yeah. I'm hoping to be putting out some more of those little TikToks because they're actually kind of fun to make.
Yeah.
And then, like, it get to pester everybody into sharing them and stuff like that. So it's Weekly Creep Adam, Kitty Cat Country, everywhere, on everything.
Everywhere. In your dreams.
Check out for your book reviews on Fridays.
Yep.
And your game playing on Sundays on Twitch. Check out Dulce's YouTube, Kitty Cat Country.
Yeah.
And all of that good stuff.
This week's book I'm reviewing is Books of Blood by Clive Barker. The fucking original.
Clive Barker of Hellraiser fame.
Yep. Still makes comic books, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, pretty sure.
And I'm playing Old Man's Journey on Sunday.
Another death game.
I know. I don't know what my problem is.
Yeah, and also, actually, shout out to our other listener, Jody, who subscribed to us through the link in our Spotify thing. I actually didn't even know this was possible. So he pledged like $5 a month through Anchor.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so if that's something that you're interested in, do follow that link. I remember it was something I turned on like the longest time ago, but didn't even understand it.
That's awesome. That means I get to have yogurt this month.
Yeah, that means we can go and buy, they'll say, some yogurt.
Yay.
But yeah, so if you're not into the whole Patreon thing or just even for one time things, that's always an option anyway. So yeah, thanks everybody, and have a great weekend or week depending on when this comes out. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.